The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live. We are so glad you're with us. Did you see what Nick Chubb said about the Browns offense? That's coming in moments. Also, somebody in this studio said there's a young quarterback who's being utilized like Lamar Jackson. It might be Dan Orlovsky because he's actually here. These people are not here, but they're still with us. Mina Kimes, Marcus Spears, and Adam Schefter. We got so much to get to today, and we start right with Schefty. There's so much to talk about around the league, but tell us some news about Steelers running back James Conner.
Yeah, listen, he sprained his ankle last night, Laura. Now, Mike Tomlin said they're going to leave the light on him for him this weekend, so they don't believe it's overly serious, but obviously couldn't finish last night's game. And Benny Snell came on and finishes the week's second leading rusher, played very well. Philip Lindsay's got a case of the turf toe. He also didn't finish last night's game. The team is hoping that it's mild, and he's hoping that he'll be able to go this week, but Philip Lindsay nursing a turf toe injury. Turf toe is very painful for running backs, a difficult injury. And of course, the Bears right now are dealing with an unhappy Allen Robinson, who today took off his social media pages, all mentions of the Bears. He's unhappy with his contract situation. He's in the last year of his deal. He'd like a new contract. And the fact that he is basically removing references to the Bears on his social media platforms, an old trick, also a new trick, but it also tells you a lot about a player's mindset, and Allen Robinson not happy with the Bears at this point in time.
Yeah, Shefty, it's petty season with all of that. Let's get to our top story today. In just a couple of days, we will see the Browns against the Bengals on Thursday Night Football. And one of our favorite teams on paper the last couple of years, early on, one of the biggest disappointments yet again, the Cleveland Browns got blown away by the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday, losing 38-6. Here's quarterback Baker Mayfield and running back Nick Chubb on why they have hope.
Obviously, there's a ton of room for improvement, but it's not just false hopes. It's there. I thought we ran the ball well early on. Well, you know, we got away from it because the score was a little bit different. You know, obviously, the ebbs and flows of a game force you to do that. But, you know, I thought we ran the ball well early and just finding more completions early on for me, I'm going to be focused on that, to where just, you know, we're smooth and just going up and down the field, keeping the chains moving.
I think we all know we can run the ball. You know, it's just we kind of got away from it in the game. So, I mean, running ball has never been a problem for us here. We just got to, you know, kind of stick to it to get in a rhythm. And, yeah, I mean, we know we can run the ball, so we just got to, you know, get better at other things.
Yeah, so Nick Chubb not mincing any words right there. Running the ball well, got to get better at some other things. Mina, the other things probably have a lot to do with Baker Mayfield. So what is going on with Baker Mayfield?
You know, Laura, Baker Mayfield is maybe the most confident football player I've ever interviewed, but watching him on Sunday, he looked like a totally different person on the field. A person, a quarterback, who has completely lost faith in his offense, not just struggling under pressure, bailing out of clean pockets. The offensive line actually played pretty well. Not trusting his playmakers to win in space, passing up on easy completions, layups. And it's frustrating, not just because it fulfills, you know, all the stereotypes about his size and the Big 12, which, by the way, go watch Kyler Murray, those are all wrong, but because he didn't make these mistakes as often his rookie season. And there's a mental regression to his game right now that seemingly does not have a solution at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like he has lost confidence in what his eyes are telling him. And let me be very clear, there are people on tape open, Baker's looking at them, and for some reason, he's just not trusting it. He's not getting the ball out of his hands. There's two guys wide open on this play. You choose either one of them. It's first and 10. That is an easy completion. Ends up being a scramble and a throwaway. There's multiple examples of Baker having a decision. There's people downfield that are open. My coach has schemed some stuff there. There's plenty of check downs. Again, second and 7. Get the ball out of your hands. Play within the rhythm of the offense. He's looking there. He's just not getting the ball out. I had this coach once, Ron Turner, who said, playing quarterback is this. See it, trust it, rip it. Right now, Baker is see it, doubt it, hold it. And this reminds me so much of Kirk Cousins to start last year, where Kirk was like looking at the field, guys are open, the pocket is fine, and he's scrambling and running out of a clean pocket. And so you heard Baker say it. It's there. In his words, he said, it's there. They got to get him to that point where he gets his stinger back.
Yeah, interestingly enough, with Kirk Cousins, it was his receivers that started to challenge him, started to turn the buck there a little bit. Looking at Baker Mayfield's numbers when targeting wide receivers alone, it's not pretty. Since last season, he's completed just 56% of his throws to wideouts with 12 touchdowns and 20 interceptions. The Browns have really invested at the receiver position, too. It's no secret. They're the only team paying multiple receivers top 10 money in terms of cash earning this season. And those two being OBJ and Jarvis Landry, of course. How about OBJ? He's talking about his quarterback here.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've never played quarterback, so I could never. It's very hard to put yourself in someone else's shoes. And as a receiver, you're like, man, I'm open or this or that. And that's just not, it's not feasible for me to think about what he may be going back through, what he may be going through back there, or if there's pressure or if there's things going on. So I know there's a lot on his plate. I know that none of us played the way that we would have wanted to play on Sunday.
Shefty, when you think about this Browns team and what you hear from around the league, as well as the Browns themselves, what comes to mind with the game that happened on Sunday?
Listen, Baker Mayfield's got a lot of talent and he's got a lot of swagger, but you're not seeing that right now for whatever reason. And when I watch the body language of him, Dan brings up the throws, Mina brings up the other factors, and they're right in everything that they say. But he looks like a defeated guy out there. And I know that they're down big in Baltimore and it's opening day. And I know that the Browns have lost the opener for, what is it, 20 straight years, 30 straight years, 40 straight years since the NFL started 100 years ago, whatever it may be. The fact of the matter is he looks defeated. And that quarterback, I think, sends a signal to the rest of the team. And this is a guy who's been so confident, so brash, and so full of swagger before. You just don't see that right now from him. And maybe it's, again, just being in Cleveland, beating him down, the losses, beating him down, the opening day defeats, beating him down. Whatever it is, it just seems like that brash guy is not there right now.
It's almost like we want the walk-on back, right? The kid that walked on two different places and took people's jobs. Part of the problem is this. One, he went to Cleveland, had that great rookie campaign, and it was, we crowned him. I crowned him. Everybody said it's the greatest thing ever. And we didn't really make him earn what you needed in the NFL. And I know Marcus has made that point. I'd say this. I think Kevin Stefanski, his head coach, is in a great spot because he experienced it last year. I'm not making the Kirk Cousins reference just because of that tie. I remember last year having the same conversation about Kirk. It's able to get fixed. You just have to be willing to admit it.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Dan, because all offseason we've been talking about Kevin Stefanski and that offense around Kirk Cousins and all the things he did to make Kirk's life easier. So much play action, the designed rollouts. You did see some of that, but, you know, they got behind and couldn't run the ball the way they wanted to and do some of those run actions. But here's the thing. The Ravens are the class, along with the AFC, are the class of the AFC. The Steelers looked really great last night. This team cannot afford to fall behind very much in this divisional race because this is one of the better divisions in the NFL.
Yeah, and one thing to keep in mind, guys, Jarvis Landry did not practice today due to a hip injury, so we'll keep our eyes on that as well. We're just getting started on NFL Live today, and it was 623 days since we last saw Big Ben throw a touchdown pass. Last night, the vet proved he can still get it done, but the strength of the Steelers, the defense. One person on this show thinks they'll be serious contenders in the AFC. Plus, some younger signal callers were in action week one, and even in losses, impressed our people. Why Sam Darnold is much better than you think, and Drew Locke's arm is electric. All that and so much more coming your way on NFL Live. Sure, Steven Gostkowski eventually made the game winner last night, but the Titans' kicking woes continue from last season. And let's go back in time a little bit. 38 teams made less than 50% of their kicks in the 1970s. Then 10 teams struggled mightily in the 80s. And then there's Tennessee, hurting the progression of field goal kickers for all of time with an 8 of 18 mark last season. We'll see if they can continue to get that fixed. Meanwhile, in the Monday night opener, Ben Roethlisberger got back on the field for the first time since injuring his elbow back in week 2 of the 2019 season. The QB, who said there were some jitters finished with 229 yards, 3 touchdown passes in a win over the Giants. And good news for Steelers fans out there wondering about Big Ben's arm strength, what it would look like. He was superb throwing to the outside of the numbers last night. One of the toughest throws to make for a quarterback, of course. He completed 63% of those pass attempts for 140 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Only Aaron Rodgers and Mitchell Trubisky threw more touchdowns of that nature than Roethlisberger in week one. So it turns out he's still got it. But the story of the night in that game, the Steelers' defense, it was dynamic. They intercepted Daniel Jones twice last night, picking up where they left off last year as their 38 takeaways were the most under Mike Tomlin. They got after Jones with 20 pressures on 29 blitzes. Quarterbacks were 0 for 9 when facing that many pressures in a game last season. Makes it kind of tough. It wasn't just Daniel Jones that struggled. Saquon Barkley had just 6 yards on 15 rush attempts. That's 14 inches per rush. For the math for the fans at home, basically, ouch. Yep, Dan's measuring it for us. I feel bad for anybody who had Saquon in fantasy last night. Shout out Mina Kimes. Marcus, how did the Steelers' defense completely take Saquon Barkley out of the game?
First of all, I'm smiling because I love defense. And the second thing is the key to stopping any good back in my 9 years playing in this league is penetration. And that's what the Pittsburgh Steelers were able to do. They were able to stop a good back before his feet got going. Let me show you, Els. Listen, this is about the center of the line of scrimmage. Alua, you see three guys in the backfield before Saquon can get going. One of the keys, make them go sideways. You see the second play, they stack. Linebacker in the middle of the line of scrimmage, again, penetration. Bud Dupree was in the backfield all night long, getting him stopped before he gets started. Another Bud Dupree off the edge, unblocked. Usually you try to get your tackle to seal the backside or at least get a hand on that end that's rushing. They couldn't do it. Bud was fast off the line of scrimmage. This is what this defense is going to pride itself on all season long. We want to take away your best player. We want to create havoc in the backfield. And once we get there, we got bad intentions and we want to cause turnovers. And that is the recipe for a really good defense, especially when you're playing against a backfield as good as Saquon Barkley.
All right, two things to slow down on. First of all, the tape business is me. All right? The tape business, stop trying to impose on my tape breakdown. That was well done. Well done. My second thing, I want to throw a little bit of water on the praise for the Steelers defense. They were great in run defense. Absolutely. I expected more out of them when it came to their coverage and their pass rush, especially when they're playing zone defense. Last year, this is the best zone defense in the NFL. Best zone defense in the NFL. Daniel Jones lit them up last night. He was 13 of 15 for a 180 on them. In zone defense, 13 of 15 for 180 yards. And those 20 pressures, only 7 of them came with that front four. I picked the Steelers to win the division. I picked the Steelers a couple weeks ago. They're not going to win the division if they don't play playing zone coverage or get in front home with their front four.
Hey, just wait till Mina does a tape.
Why, Marcus. Man, Dan.
Yep.
Don't we talk about quarterbacks enough on this show? Don't we praise quarterbacks enough? Can't you give credit to an incredible defense, including those garbage time numbers in your Daniel Jones stats? They were amazing. First, Marcus highlighted the phenomenal run defense, and as a Saquon owner, I felt that. The pass defense, they'll kill you with the blitz to comical effect last night, blitzing on 61% of the dropbacks, which I think is the second most any quarterback's been blitzed of the last 2 years. They'll kill you with the standard rush, which is something they excelled at last season as well. Of course, bringing Stephon Tuitt back, who's so good at rushing from the inside. But look, the Giants' offensive line, not great. But did you see the speed and athleticism? Bud Dupree looked like he got shot out of a cannon. T.J. Watt beginning his Defensive Player of the Year campaign early. They're good against any offense, and you will see that this season.
What is this?
It's the Naps.
Mina Kimes. Mina Kimes, thank you, because you saved me from going off. And then don't try to soften it up, Dan Orlovsky, by saying, I picked them to win the division. Give them credit for a defense that shut everything down. And you live 13 of 15 in zone. Who cares? They gave up 6 yards to arguably a top three back in the league. They created negative plays. The Giants had 29 yards rushing.
I expect them to be the best defense
game
in the NFL.
Stop with the madness.
They need to be better in coverage, and I promise you they would admit it.
All right.
They
I think moral.
13 for 15.
Moral
they
of the story is that Marcus Spears has the new king of the tapes on this show. Watch out, Dan Orlovsky. The NFC West might be the most exciting division in the NFL. Mina thinks this is a different Seahawks team than years past. Could we see three playoff teams from this division? Find out who they think is still the team to beat. That's coming. Dan, your snaps are really quiet. A little louder. There we go. All right.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
New on NFL Live, our Jets reporter Rich Cimini tweeting, running back Le'Veon Bell going on IR, source confirming that. That means he'll miss 3 games. So interesting stuff from the Jets there. We're going to get to some quick reads, keeping with our little Jets theme here, but focusing on some young quarterbacks. Week one, we hadn't gotten to talk about. Dan, what do you make of Sam Darnold, the Jets quarterback, week one?
Sam Darnold had one really stupid decision and 2 bad throws. Other than that, he was outstanding. He makes 3 throws in this game that are just unbelievable. 2 to Le'Veon Bell and 1 to Crowder. Here's the thing. Sam Darnold's going to be a great player in this league. He just needs to either get away from Adam Gase or the Jets, because until that happens, they will hold him back. The talent around him is terrible, but his talent and his progression will continue to grow.
So, Laura, there was a lot of excitement around young Drew Locke. And for me, his performance last night was a mixed bag. The good, 6 for 6 in the first half, throwing when he was on the move, running. The bad, some struggles with vision, throwing deep. That sort of continued from last season against a very good defense. We'll see if he can build on this performance.
And if I want to start a season off that is the most unconventional season ever, I want Joe Burrow to be my quarterback coming out of college. He had a phenomenal start to me. Made one bad decision with the shovel to Melvin Ingram. But you look at a 2-minute drill with a quarterback that's able to take you down the field and give you an opportunity to score, had it not been for an offensive pass interference, would have won the game. I feel good about what Joe Burrow is going to do in Cincinnati.
Switching gears and heading west, where the NFC just might have the best division in the NFL. Here's the proof. Jared Goff and the Rams beat the Cowboys in SoFi Stadium's inaugural game. He completed 20 of 31 pass attempts for 275 yards through the air. Jamal Adams didn't skip a beat in his Seattle debut. 12 tackles, 1 sack. He was on fire, extremely efficient, as 5 of his 12 tackles resulted in a loss of yards. And after going 1-5 against the NFC West as a rookie, Kyler Murray stunned the 49ers, 230 yards passing, 91 yards rushing in a week 1 win. Now, the Niners held the lead in each of the first 3 quarters, but we know how this has gone in the past. They took the loss despite 0 turnovers in the contest. So Adam Schefter back here with us to talk about those Niners. And look, here's the thing. When you think about their week one loss, that's one thing, Schefty. But then there's also the fact that they've got injuries piling up. What do we know right now?
And George Kittle right now has got a sprained knee, and Kyle Shanahan has said that he wants to see how George Kittle is doing on Wednesday when he comes in. But think about this. They play the Jets. He's got a sprained knee, which means he's got some sort of tear in there. Why are you going to rush back one of the great players in all of football when it's a long season and he's clearly not injured? Now, George Kittle's a tough guy. He doesn't like to miss time. But the fact of the matter is the Niners need to be very careful with George Kittle, and it could be very challenging for him to play on Sunday against the New York Jets.
Yeah, in it for the long haul, certainly there. How about Deebo Samuel with these Niners?
They put him on IR. And again, keep in mind that if you're on IR now, you must miss at least three games. He had the Jones fracture in his foot. Those are the types of injuries that teams like to be very careful about. When he felt some soreness and discomfort in his foot last week, at a time when they were hoping he potentially could be back for the opener, they didn't waste any time. Put him on IR. So he's going to miss at least the first few weeks. You have to figure there's a chance that Kittle doesn't play Sunday. So no Samuel, no Kittle. And they need this team to step up, already 0-1, already in the hole, already having lost at home. So it's a tough time for San Francisco. They get the Jets this week, and the Jets are putting Le'Veon Bell on injured reserve, which means that he'll miss at least three games.
Yeah, lots of injuries week one, unfortunately. Shefty's staying with us, and it's important with Deebo Samuel, too, the history going all the way back to college where he had foot injuries as well. Marcus, the 49ers, the reigning NFC champs, just in case people forgot, Jimmy G, if he doesn't overthrow Emmanuel Sanders, they'd probably be the reigning Super Bowl champs. Are they built for a return trip to the Super Bowl, especially after you hear this context on some early injuries they're dealing with?
Not at the moment, Laura, especially without George Kittle. Listen, this is paramount. He creates a lot of opportunities for these other players. We had wind and have known about Deebo Samuel and his possible return, knew he was dealing with an injury. Ayuk, the new rookie out of Arizona State with a hamstring, expected back this week. But Jimmy G is not going to carry this team to a Super Bowl, let alone possibly even winning their own division. This is a run-heavy, play-action, get George Kittle involved type of offense. And look, if anybody can call plays to protect you, it's Kyle Shanahan in this league. But as we've seen, Jimmy G without Kittle, Jimmy G without a dominant receiver on the outside is going to have to make plays more so than he's had to do when we watched them make their run to the Super Bowl. And I just don't think he's capable based on what I've seen.
Let's stay in the NFC West, talk Kyler Murray, of course, the team that beat the 49ers. Dan, just how special is Kyler Murray?
Well, let me share you a story. Share a story with you. I talked with a really well-respected scout yesterday who said if he had to take any quarterback in the NFL right now, anyone, any age, it would be Kyler Murray.
Wow.
And he said it's because he knows there are things that Kyler can't do or can do that Patrick Mahomes can't do. He doesn't think there's anything Patrick Mahomes can do that Kyler Murray cannot do. And those are really big words. Now, this is why Kyler has become so dynamic, because he's so explosive as an athlete. He creates plays after the ball gets snapped. A lot of times in football, there's a progression before the play. And then when you have these athletic quarterbacks, there's really new progressions after the play. And this is why Kyler has trended into the Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes conversation. Because those guys do two things. They can create offense, like I just said, or also, even when you play defense against them and you have the perfect call and your 11 guys execute it perfectly, it doesn't matter because that guy is that good. And Kyler has already ascended into that type of impact.
Just so amazing that some people thought he wouldn't succeed at this level. Then there's the Seahawks. Mina, I'm told you follow the Seahawks pretty closely. Why should the week one performance by that offense have fans in Seattle excited?
So, Laura, there's a phrase you might have heard. Really, it's a movement called Let Russ Cook. And what it means is this. There's a feeling that for too long in Seattle, they've been dialing up these bland, seasoning-free runs on first and second down when your quarterback is a whole meal. Well, this Sunday, Brian Schottenheimer opened up the pantry and it was delicious. Let me explain to you how different this offense was, all right? Over the last couple of years, Seattle has ranked near the bottom of the league in early down pass rates. This weekend, tied for first. For so many drives, the plan seems to be mess around, hope that Russell Wilson creates magic on third down. He often does. On Sunday, they had wide receivers wide open, expected completion percentage of 75%. And Pete Carroll, who's been so conservative on fourth down, appeared to change his stripes. Go route to DK Metcalf on fourth down. I get emotional just thinking about it. If they can keep this up,
This is going to be one of the best offenses in the NFL.
Hey, listen, it's also Pete Carroll's 69th birthday today, so maybe he's, like, turning a new leaf as he turns a new year older. I love the spice cabinet. That was a whole
lot
of fun.
The emotion from Mina Kimes.
It's great. Hey, by the way, the Rams are also in this division. Not sure if you guys remember that. They took down the Cowboys on Sunday night. Marcus, it's hard to even figure out, but who do you like in this division right now in the NFC West?
Oh, my goodness. Why would you ask me that? But obviously, I think it's Seattle. I still believe Russell Wilson is that dude. And I think it's more and more difficult, especially if Brian Schottenheimer is going to continue to call games like this to beat those guys. Russ has already been doing it and carrying a team with a very vanilla situation offensively. I'll let Mina tell you about that. But the fact that he has DK, who dropped a couple balls in that game but also bounced back, you got a one-on-one guy now that you can win 50-50 balls with. Obviously, his rapport with Tyler Lockett is unbelievable. They put Carson in the game. They had a physical run game. They threw the ball all over the place. Russ was just Russ and Jamal Adams. Listen, I cannot express to people that this is almost as similar to Bill O'Brien trading away DeAndre Hopkins as the Jets letting Jamal Adams go and play somewhere else. He has that type of impact on the game, and he did it week one.
Listen, Seattle's very good. I still think a lot of people are sleeping on the Rams. I mean, the Rams, we all thought the Rams could bounce back offensively. I did not expect what I saw Sunday night from the defense. They have the best defensive player in football. No offense to Jamal Adams. They still have the best defensive player in football. And they might have one of the top five most impactful players on defense in Jalen Ramsey. If they're going to get that physicality out of Jalen Ramsey every week and their young secondary comes along, and Aaron Donald, no matter what any stat says about him as a run defender, dominates like that, then the Rams, because of their coach, Sean McVay, jump up to the leader of the division for me. It's a loaded division. It is a loaded division. I think San Francisco's got massive concerns with their health at the outside position. I'm talking massive, massive, like missed the playoffs massive. So I like the Rams still.
Ooh, dropped a little spice at the end there. Look,
she's hungry.
I lean Seattle right now because of everything we've been talking about with San Francisco with some of these injuries. But I'll say this. There's going to be three playoff teams in this division. No question.
Write it down.
It is the best division in football, and it is not particularly close.
What I will write down as we go to break is that we all need a snack after all this talk about seasoning and spices and everything going on here on NFL Live. It's snack time. When we come back, Lamar Jackson busted onto the scene. His rookie year never looked back. But there's another young quarterback that one of our analysts says is being used in the same exact way as the reigning MVP. Find out who next on NFL Live. Oh, Marcus, does that, what is that?
Is that a milkshake?
Like a bubble tea or something?
Is that a post-Peloton milkshake?
Nice. We can't hear him. I love it.
National Voter Registration Day is September 22nd. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Our week two Monday Night Football matchup is the Raiders home opener at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Josh Jacobs and the 1-0 Raiders hosting Drew Brees and the 1-0 Saints. It's 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ESPN, ABC, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Our coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown. We will see you there. All right, we all knew that Bills quarterback Josh Allen could run and use his athleticism to his supreme advantage. But on Sunday, he showed he can beat teams with his arm as well, passing for over 300 yards for the first time in his pro career. Allen still did use his legs to generate offense, which was great, rushing for 57 yards and a score on 14 carries. So Dan naturally got excited. He tweeted. Earlier today, he said this, save this. People will start talking about Bills OC Brian Daboll and what he's doing for Josh Allen the way we do about Greg Roman and Lamar Jackson. The growth and development Allen has shown in what used to be his weakness, eye discipline, touch, has been outstanding. All right, so Dan coming in hot with the save this right off the bat right there. What have the Bills done, Dan, to make you see this potential in Allen?
They've started to see him the way the Ravens see Lamar Jackson, as a weapon. And for a long time in the NFL, I think the thought process was when it comes to quarterbacks, let's protect them. Good players, let's protect them. And I now think that teams are looking at quarterbacks and going, Let's use them as weapons. That's what the Ravens do with Lamar Jackson, and that's what the Bills have started to do with Josh Allen, using him in their run game. They are bringing people from one side of the field to the other side of the field. Zone run game. We see Lamar Jackson, right, getting out on the perimeter, using his athleticism, and it makes reads a lot easier. Josh Allen is doing the same thing. It's almost this recess style of football where he's breaking the pocket and being electric with the football in his hands. Again, I'm not saying they're the same player, but they're being used the same way. And that's the most impressive thing is Brian Daboll, their play caller, is going, he's really good at this stuff, right? He's a big-time weapon with his feet and his athleticism. Let's use him that way. And then when it comes to the development, I was critical of Josh on two things coming out of school. One, every ball was as hard as it possibly could be. And then two, he really lacked eye discipline. If you watch the tape now, there's touch on throws. In zone defense, he's finding defenders, moving them with his eyes to create bigger openings. It's such really cool growth to see. And Brian Daboll and Ken Dorsey, his quarterback coach, are right at the lead of it.
Dan, I couldn't agree more. To me, it felt like when Josh Allen came into the league, the Bills wanted him to be something he wasn't. This big arm pocket passer. I mean, he does have a big arm, but they've adapted to him. And as you said, all credit to Brian Daboll to actually recognizing the skills and abilities of his quarterback and changing the offense. His first season, Josh averaged 11 intended air yards per attempt, which, yes, led the NFL. On Sunday, that was down to 6.2 yards. They recognize he struggles with the deep ball, and they're making adjustments to his game, making it easier for him. Really like what I saw. Now, it wasn't perfect, missed a couple of touchdowns, made some mistakes, but the development and, of course, the offense, as you described, is really, really improving.
Yeah, Marcus, you're on record as picking the Patriots over the Bills to win this division. You rolling with Cam Newton or Josh Allen after week one?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Cam Newton. Hell yeah, I am. Listen, until he lose. No, here's the thing. I have what Dan said, what Mina is talking about with Josh Allen was very impressive. And coaches should do that because they get paid to put their players in the position to be successful. So kudos to them. But I'm still rolling with Bill Belichick. I'm still rolling with the guy that has managed to figure out ways, even when his team has been depleted, to win games. And now he has a weapon like Lamar Jackson, quote unquote, Cam Newton been doing this. And they're creating the offense around him and trying to give him those same opportunities that we're talking about right now. I'm rolling with the Patriots. I ain't changing my mind. It's still Cam damn Newton. I'm only saying his name that way for the entire season because he's going to continue to ball out. And I still am going to roll with the Patriots to win their division because the mad scientist is over there on the sidelines.
But here's the big difference between those football teams. Like, let's talk about the players. I know Belichick is a ridiculous coach. Let's talk about the players. The Bills are set up to play well against the Patriots and to beat them. They've got guys at the receiver position that could win in man coverage, something New England loves to do. Now they've really got an understanding of who their quarterback is. They're going to be able to use the same kind of style of offense that we've all started to rave about with New England, that since they have Cam Newton, and you, I'm going to say his name the way the birth certificate says it, the way that
you don't curse.
We're used to watching teams use Cam Newton, they're starting to use Josh Allen that way. But with the new age wrinkle of Lamar Jackson in it, and again, his development as a passer is one of the biggest conversations here. Because the addition of the talent that they have, They're built right now to beat New England.
Yeah, I think it'd be Cameron Newton if you were doing the birth certificate there.
Legal names.
Hey, Mina, the one thing, too, when you think about the Patriots offense versus the Bills, you know, do the Patriots have enough to be explosive in the way that you would want to see them?
Yeah. And that's the key question about Cam Damn Newton, which, by the way, is an amazing nickname because when he plays well, he can be Cam Damn Newton. But when he struggles, he can be Cam Damn Newton. It works no matter what happens.
Only you. Only you.
I actually prefer Cam and the coaches in New England. But unfortunately for the Patriots and Marcus's pick, I think the Bills are better just about everywhere else.
Yes.
Maybe not offensive line. But that roster is so deep. And for so long, not so long, 2 years, it's been the quarterback that's been holding them back. Now the question is, can the quarterback help them win? Because the rest of that roster is really good.
All right, we got more coming your way on NFL Live. We're going to talk about some more quarterbacks, and one of them named Aaron Rodgers. He looked like he turned back the clock on Sunday afternoon, throwing 4 touchdowns in a divisional win. Dan Orlovsky shows you how he did it and why he's still one of the best in the game. Even Mina said he looked like Aaron Rodgers of old. Oh, man, what are you doing over there?
Just going double check.
So I guess it seems like Marcus Spears liked Aaron Rodgers just a little bit. But listen, seriously, Marcus, when you saw how he started the season off and you saw the way that he played in game one, what gets you excited about Rodgers and the season that we may see from him, despite the fact that his team didn't draft him any weapons in the first round or really even beyond that?
Well, we talked about Aaron Rodgers possibly going scorched earth and making a statement this year. He talked about going back and reviewing some things that made him the guy he was. But I never thought Aaron Rodgers was not a great quarterback. I still thought he was. We can get into the minutiae that Dan and Mina about to get into about the numbers, and he was down and he wasn't looking at stuff the same way. I looked at him and I said, you know what? That's still number 12. That's still the dude that I've been a victim of, and he and everybody else in this league has been a victim of. And he just showed you the first week of the season why. And maybe Green Bay, because I fought this battle too. Maybe Green Bay didn't draft anyone because they felt good about the guys that were already there. They felt like they would develop. They felt like they could be good receivers with a great quarterback. All of that stuff kind of came to fruition in the first week of the season. So I'm going to digress and let the people that have to have the floor. But Mina, I'm going to tell you this before we get going. You took your 35 and older guy out to the woodshed yesterday and said he was big. Don't tell me nothing about Drew Brees. I'm going to end it there.
Y'all, I was waiting for this.
Y'all go ahead.
Hey, listen. Okay, we're going to get to Mina in a second. Dan, you're really high on Aaron Rodgers right now.
What's
he doing that already looks different from years past, and you got to get up and boogie and run over to
Let's go.
Touch screen.
Me, Kenny,
Let's see how fast Dan Orlovsky.
Oh, athlete.
Turns
all right.
out he's
I would
slow.
Say, I'd
all right.
say this.
He pulled a hammy. Oops,
I'd say this.
Ball.
Sunday was Rodgers' best game in the last 5 years. And don't talk to me about anticipation and don't talk to me about accuracy. Do them together. Two clips coming your way. And I chose two clips on purpose. The route concept right here is a short in and then a corner route by Alan Lazard. Everyone keep your focus on Alan Lazard. And I chose this clip for a specific reason, because that progression that I just showed you, short in to corner route, it's number 1 to number 2. That corner route is going to be number 2 in the progression. Look at the ball placement by Rodgers. Now, we got a split screen coming to show you exactly what it looks like at the top. All right, now I want you to see Rodgers is right now getting that ball out of his hands. The ball is coming out of his hands. There's the anticipation. Now show me the accuracy. You better pull Lazard to that sideline. Ball is coming out. Show me the accuracy right now. Anticipation plus accuracy. Ball placement right there. We did not see that out of Rodgers last year. Now, this is my favorite clip of the weekend. This is the number 1 receiver, Davante Adams. He's going to run a corner or a comeback, excuse me, to the sideline. Everyone see, that ball is on the left hash. Anyone who talks quarterbacks will tell you that is one of the hardest throws in football because of the distance. Let's go a little bit of split screen on him because, okay, Rodgers, that ball is coming out of Rodgers' hand right now. Davante Adams isn't out of his cut yet. There's the anticipation. but don't give me anticipation without accuracy. The corner is staring right at the quarterback. If you aren't accurate here, that ball is going to get picked. Ball is out. You tell me about the ball placement. There's the anticipation, and there is the accuracy. Aaron Rodgers did this 7 times on Sunday. Where the ball came out of his hands before the receivers were ready for it, his placement was absolutely ridiculous. Best game in the last 5 years. Mina, tell me what you think.
I love the choices you made there. Okay, those clips. Because yesterday I pulled the deep ball to Adams when Aaron was rolling right, which was special. Aaron Rodgers doing Aaron Rodgers things. But those are plays he's actually made over the last few years. It was the consistency, the operating in structure, the anticipation that we saw on Sunday that made it, in my mind, and I agree with you, Dan, his best game in years. Stat I loved. Aaron Rodgers got the ball out in less than 2.6 seconds. Faster than Tom Brady. When was the last time that's happened? Yeah. That shows me he trusts Matt LaFleur's offense. He trusts his wide receivers, and the results speak for themselves.
Speaking of seconds, I want to say that Dan Orlovsky was slower than I thought he would be getting over to the touchscreen.
That's on
and
you.
And did you guys hear him being a little out of breath during that? Or was that just me?
Nah.
Yes.
Come on.
I heard it.
No, those are fabrication.
I'm just glad them pants ain't catch on fire, tight as they are. That's what I'm happy about.
You want to bring up a Peloton ride by you? So don't talk about my jeans.
No. Marcus is on the bike. Watch out.
Keep it on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was great. Aaron Rodgers was great, Laura Rutledge. He was great.
This is honest comment. This is what I loved about the Packers. First of all, Rodgers, the ball was out of his hand. Second of all, the way they used Davante Adams, moved him around. Third of all, their receivers, not just Davante, Adams, Lazard, and Valdez-Scantling put on a route-running clinic when it comes to winning at the line of scrimmage.
Time for one more thing before we go. Mina.
Man, I don't want to pile on Stephen Gostkowski and his historically bad kicking day, but I will say this about Tennessee. This is a problem they need to get fixed in a hurry, because that red zone offense, which was historically actually good last year, was bound for some regression. They need a competent kicking game. They don't have one right now.
One of the biggest things this happened this weekend was the Cowboys' injury to Blake Jarwin, their tight end. I thought Blake Jarwin was going to be a massive part of this offense for this season. They were going to use him the way we see the Kansas City Chiefs use Travis Kelce. They've built a lot of that offense with him in mind. How are they going to replace him is a huge question moving forward.
Speaking of Blake Jarwin and tight ends, D.O. Kittle. Out, man, that sprained knee, and he is a part of what this offense thrives in. He is Jimmy G's security blanket. He is a great inline blocker in this run game. Without him, what are the San Francisco 49ers going to do offensively, man?
I want to give a big shout-out to our colleague Maria Taylor, who made her debut on the NFL last night as a sideline reporter on Monday Night Football in the opening game, the Steelers and the Giants, giving us excellent information throughout, an exceptional interview with Ben Roethlisberger to close it out. And by the way, she's going to be hosting NBA Countdown, a doubleheader right here on our air. So not only has she dominated in college football, she's dominated at the NFL now. And then now she's also going to continue her reign as the NBA Countdown host. Shout out to Maria. Shout out to everyone who has continued to support her. And I know that we are all in that group of full-on supporters of Maria Taylor. We will be with you the rest of the week on NFL Live. Around the Horn is next.